Good evening. Some of you might be aware that the World Cup is going on this summer. It's actually being held in Russia this year. And I've caught a few highlights of the games, but I haven't tuned in really too much given that the U.S. team isn't in the tournament. I grew up playing the game, playing soccer, coached it, watched it, played it. I enjoy it. And one thing I've come to appreciate about the game is that, unlike others, there's no stoppage time of the clock. Actually, forgive me, there is stoppage time, but there's no stopping of the game clock throughout the game. It's played in 45-minute halves, but in that 45-minute half, there's absolutely no stopping of the game clock, no timeouts, no commercial breaks, no stopping for any reasons. It's always fascinated me why soccer chose, or whenever it was developed, that it was chosen not to stop the clock. They actually have what's called stoppage time. You know, the 45-minute half elapses, and then to account for any lost time due to substitutions and whatnot, they elect to add whatever amount of time is fitting to make up for that after the clock has run out. So this idea of no timeouts or no stopping of the game, this is something that's really a hot topic actually in the soccer community. And, you know, should they add timeouts? Should they not? Should they look at readjusting the timing of the game? Who knows? When you're thinking about timeouts, we often search for timeouts in life. Days off work, vacations, that date night with a spouse after a hard week where you can kind of just let everything go and go into neutral. You know, these earthly things are not inherently wrong, because sometimes vacations or time off can really help as a you know, fueling your work ethic going forward. But in our spiritual lives, we can't afford to take any timeouts. We cannot afford to slip into neutral. You ever had a car slip into neutral and not realize it? I hate to say that I have. It's not really a fun experience. It's actually quite scary. This slipping into neutral, in a spiritual sense, has been something on my mind for the past couple months. And I think sometimes we often fool ourselves to think that slipping into neutral spiritually is not one of Satan's tools in his arsenal. So what does this slipping into neutral look like? How does it feel? What are some things that you can do about it? So for a few moments tonight, we're going to look at a few well-known passages concerning the idea of slipping into neutral spiritually and how it relates to sowing and reaping and what we will yield if we do what God expects of us. If we're not on fire for the Lord, how can we efficiently and fervently sow the seeds for the kingdom? So immediately when thinking about the concept of slipping into neutral, my mind is taken to the first couple chapters of the book of Revelation. And we can see where the church at Laodicea in chapter 3, verse 15. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold, or cold nor hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold, hot nor cold, excuse me, I will spit you out of my mouth. We see that the church at Laodicea had slipped into neutral. They had grown stagnant in their spirituality. They had started focusing on earthly things and not really appreciating what their spiritual life meant. one chapter before there, in the second chapter of Revelation, we see the church at Ephesus. They were guilty of a somewhat similar sin. Their sin, they had lost their first love. Their love had grown cold. And what a desperate position spiritually to be in. You know, I've spent some time talking with the youth over the past few years about what it means for us to make sure that our fervor doesn't grow cold or falter. According to Matthew 22, verse 37, when the lawyer asked Jesus, "What is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." By this, obviously, we know that we're to give everything for the Lord, withholding nothing. I challenge the youth to not make some of the same mistakes I did when I was growing up in high school and college. At times I was desperate and mentally fatigued, you would say. And the mindset I had was one of, well, I'm not actively pursuing sin. I'm not habitually making a practice of sin in my life. I'm not actively bringing on things that will make me further away from the Lord. But how grossly inaccurate is this mindset? Our mindset should be instead, as Paul writes in Colossians, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So all we have and all we are should be directed for the cause of Christ. I'd like to draw your attention to the Gospel of Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 30. Again, that's Matthew 12, verse 30. So Jesus here, after healing a blind and mute man, is speaking with the Pharisees about their blasphemy and says, he says there, starting in verse 30, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Are there times where we think just because I'm actively not pursuing a sinful way of living that I'm okay? So it's actually in that very moment that we've slipped into neutral or taken a time out. So the reality drawn out here is that there's no middle ground. You're either gathering for the Lord or you're scattering. So anyone who's talked with me about anything knows that I like illustrations. And to me, it's almost as if you have a shop vac, bear with me, and it's got both a blowing and a vacuum function. And somehow the on switch has been stuck and it will not turn off. All you can do is switch it from vacuum to blower. You are either gathering or scattering. There's no neutral. So we are aware, obviously, from Scripture that within the New Testament, also in the Old, there are quite a few examples of the Spirit talking about sowing and reaping. Paul, speaking to in the second letter to the church at Corinth, so we're in 2 Corinthians of chapter 9, verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Speaking of giving, we understand here, Paul, that he later highlights that God loves a cheerful giver. What are we giving in our life? When do we spend our time? Where's our time spent? Our resources. Are we giving God the impression that not only we care about spiritual matters, but we pursue them fervently? So the answer is, if we have to think about it too long, maybe that our resources and time are misappropriated. Paul speaking again to the church at Galatia, chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to the household, to those who are of the household of faith. What if we were held accountable? We will be. But what if I were to say to you today, I want you to go and write down a log of everything you've done? We all have heard of counting calories. What if we were to count minutes? Give an accounting of every minute of every day. What if we were to log down every time we aimlessly picked up our phone or electronic device or flipped through the channels? How much time would it be devoted in fervent study, helping others in need, in prayer, evangelism? You know, we've been talking about it in the Bible class here in the auditorium, the Sermon on the Mount, there in the 5th chapter of Matthew, 6th verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. What are we hungering and thirsting for? What occupies our time? If we sow sparingly, we'll also reap sparingly. Are we gathering or scattering for the Lord? There's no other option. It's one or the other. Are you moving toward the toward the Lord or away? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. So we know that our reward, as Peter draws out there in the third verse of chapter 1 in 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You know, are we going to be sinless and perfect? Obviously not. There was only one who was, and that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. All through school, I was introduced to different mathematical paradoxes or mathematical theories, and one that I enjoyed the most was coined as Zeno's paradox. And what that is if you have a point A and a point B, that if you go from point B to point A halfway and then go halfway and then go halfway and then halfway, and then you'll never get there. So I'd like to challenge us to actually try and do that with our spiritual life, right? I'm not calling us to do half of what God says, but what I am calling us to do is, even though we know that the end game or the end result is a sinless life, which is unattainable because we're human, that we still try and get as close as possible. And with that, how we do that would be filling our lives with things that would bring glory and honor to God. So maybe you're here tonight and you haven't started that walk with your Lord. I would submit to you that tonight is probably the best night of any. It all starts with hearing the word. We must believe that word and confess that belief. We must repent. And lastly, we must be immersed in water, where our sins will be remembered by God no more. We're added to the church that we read about in the New Testament. We'll be cleansed of all previous sin and be privy to the saving grace that our Lord provides. If you have sort of that walk, have you slipped into neutral? Have you taken a time out? Maybe you need to get back on track. Whatever your need, come forward as we stand and sing.